You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Hold on. Let them play it.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows. It's like rock. What's that rock band or that video game you play? Hold on.
Oh.
Why? Yeah.
Because it's me and I can. Bing is for doing it. Hey, what's up, you guys? We are back with another Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Good evening. I'm Jason J. Carter. Hi, girls.
Hi. I'm Julie Parton.
And I'm Kelly.
So glad you're back, Kelly.
Me
we miss
too.
You.
I feel like I haven't been here in so long.
It's like revolving door. Star's not here. You're here. Rude.
But we have the OG.
OG tonight.
We have been watching this show since the first episode of season 9 when we all met.
That is true. Mm-hmm.
For sure. It's been great. Star's out tonight. She's booked on another job. Star, have fun. We wish you the best. We'll see you next week. And with that, our show ensues. So, yeah, it's Grey's Anatomy Season 9, Episode 21. Do you believe in magic?
Do you?
No.
Do you believe in magic?
Sing the song.
Do you believe in magic? In a young girl, blah, blah, blah.
Girl's heart.
I would definitely not be on American Idol. Tonight's episode was really, really good. We're coming down to the wire. The finale is almost here. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Kyle White on Twitter, at Kyle White. He's a really, really, really dedicated fan. Love you, Kyle. Thank you so much for tweeting
us
all the time.
We have a lot of fantastic dedicated fans.
Oh, well, let's get into them. Let's give them a shout out now. I think we owe them that.
Especially the people that follow all the time.
Lovable Nikki.
Yes,
Lovable Nikki. You're so
Nikki.
Cute. Alicia Harding. Shonda Rhimes. Thank you for following us. Wishful thinking. I'm trying to manifest it, people. I was reading my secret book today.
Wait, Corrine. Where's GT?
GT, man?
GT's awesome.
Yeah.
She always has the most fantastic predictions, too.
Well, she was driving, and she was like, I popped in, I downloaded the Season 9, Episode 1 podcast. I was like, girl, you went all the way back to Episode 1?
She's one of our fans that can't watch live.
Right.
So we totally appreciate her.
We definitely do.
Chalking up the podcast.
So thank you guys, all of you.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's jump into it.
Yeah.
What was crazy about tonight was how many patients there were. I think I counted 6. Yeah,
you
go
have
for
a caller.
Oh. Awesome. Love callers.
Give us some love, caller.
False alarm. They just hung up. Maybe they'll call back.
Call back.
Pick up the phone.
We appreciate the thought.
The effort.
But back to the 6 patients. How many patients were there? They just kept going and going and going. Magic show, little guy, 21st birthday, severe cleft palate, little girl, wild brother. And it just kept going on.
And going and going.
Yeah.
Well, they had tweeted that tonight was going to be one of the grossest episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
Who tweeted that?
Alicia Harding.
I agree. It was gross.
That.
It was like, I almost threw up a time or two.
I mean, it wasn't that gross.
It is. What is this, bones?
Like, I can't deal with the kind of like gory, bloody stuff. And I mean, it was gross, but I was expecting it to be worse. So I was glad it wasn't that bad. But there was a lot of like blood and guts today. Like the chainsaw in half person, like pulling something out of some kid's head. Like,
The chainsaw girl. I always wondered that. Like, how do they slice someone in half? I never got the magic trick, but leave it to the writers of Grey's to think of. You know what? I bet you they sit around the writers' table and think, okay, well, when I was a kid, I always wondered, so let's actually write it into the show. And then the girl comes in, like, just spurting out blood. It's always a blood spurt.
We have your caller back on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Spurting blood. Hey, caller, you're on the line with AfterBuzz TV Grey's Anatomy Show. Hello, who is this?
Hi, this is Shanika.
Hey, Shanika, what's up, girl?
Where are you calling from?
How are you?
Good.
I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, wow. So you're
late. It's
so
late there.
Are you calling for Grey's Anatomy?
Yes.
Yay!
Sometimes we have failed that late, but I've been waiting.
We have people that sometimes mix it up, and since with different time zones. So I'm glad you're on top of your time zones.
So what's up? What did you think about the episode?
I wanted to talk about a couple things. I don't like the way that Joe keeps blaming Alex about her information that she didn't tell her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, messed me up because I'm like, it's not his fault that you're keeping things from the guy you're supposed to want to be with.
Exactly. I agree. Go ahead.
What else I wanted to tell you about? What else?
Well, I mean, so far so good. I want to hear the rest of your opinions because that one was on the money. She was really bugging us last week.
Well, she was about to move in with that guy.
Yeah.
So how does he not know about her past? And obviously, how does she still want to be with him when he obviously had a negative reaction?
Mm-hmm.
And then, and so much so that she goes and blames Alex.
Well, because she's she's just stupid. Joe's not Joe. Clearly, you're a doctor doesn't mean you're smart.
Or it doesn't mean that you're emotionally stable.
Yeah.
The girl obviously has unresolved childhood issues.
Well, yeah, she's been through a lot.
I mean, she had to eat out of a dumpster. I mean, that would be, you know, traumatic enough for me.
Oh my god. Also, I wanted to I went blank again. Avery. I just love to look at him.
Yeah.
But what the girl Edward needs to understand, he has a high stress job now. She's gonna have to take a little, you know, break, but he's nice to look at, so.
Oh, so and wait, you're giving him an excuse on this one? Because I was on her side completely.
Me too.
See, I really wasn't. Like, I'm with you because, you know, he does have a high stress job. It's something new, and they're at the same place. She knows where he is. It's not like he's off somewhere. She has no idea where he is or what he's doing. So I think she needs to chill out just a little bit.
She's
yeah,
fall
but
back.
He stood her up twice, and he didn't call her.
On-call room at April, though, all bets off.
11 days he didn't call her. And then he made other plans when he already had plans with her after standing her up the first time.
Yeah, she is. But I'm on your side, Julie.
No,
I mean,
with those, you know, the making plans, standing her up, okay, be upset about that. But also you have to understand. So you can't, you know, I just... He's not right. I'm not really condoning that. But at the same time, you have to be a little bit understanding. Like I said, it's not like she doesn't know where he is.
Right.
I just liked the way that she, not to jump to the end of the episode, but I liked the way that she took charge and she taught him how to treat her.
That's right.
That's still left to be seen. All he did was make out with her. He didn't really learn anything
yet. That's true. That's
true. We'll see.
We'll see if he puts his money where his mouth is in more ways than one.
She just said what she wanted, which was very good, and it was great communication, so we'll see if he takes that. But all he did was kiss her. He didn't learn anything.
No, that's a great point, but at least she vocalized what she was seeking.
Absolutely.
She wasn't
I'm glad that she was able to be there. I'm glad that she had that moment of power, because Edwards is always running after someone. She's always, you know, a tag-along. She's never, ever really committing to like a situation. She's always just there. Today you saw Stephanie Edwards be a full-fledged powerful woman and stand up for what she wanted and take what was hers. She was like, let me snatch this man back real quick because he's falling off the bandwagon. It was great.
Yes.
You know, poor hairball. Yeah. I love it.
Hairball.
I mean,
out of order, hairball.
I know. She needs to get it together.
Okay, well, I wanted to tell you guys I love you.
Love you too.
Thank
Thanks
you
for calling.
So much for watching. It's really good to hear from you.
Yeah, get some rest. It's late over there in Florida.
Keep it real in Florida.
Dirty South. Dirty South. Thank you for calling, sweetie. Have a good one. Oh, we're the best callers ever. I know. I'm glad. I mean, we'll talk about Stephanie and Jackson later on the podcast. But, you know, I'm glad the relationships are going the way they're going as far as developing more, because every season you have these relationships that fizzle, they start, they stop. It's like blah, 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 more love on Grey's. And I needed something to happen that was going to be like the kicker. You know?
Yeah.
And seeing Stephanie just really be like, you know, I this is how I want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've been in that situation where it's like, damn it, I know I deserve better than this. What is wrong with you? But it's more like, what is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Why am I not, like, you know, putting out what I need? And she finally did, and it was great. And plus, her hair got really romantic this episode, too.
I know. I was worried. We hadn't seen her in a while.
Mm-hmm. So back to the patients.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had so many crazy patient stories, and they tied in really, really well. Did you guys think it was the grossest episode you'd ever seen?
No.
I think the pull through the person and the other person
for sure
wins still for me. Although that baby, I Not that I'm against that in any way, of course, but it caught me so off guard.
Blowhole was worse than that baby.
Oh, no. That baby caught me off guard. Like, I didn't really know if that was a real baby or how they would even put those kind of fake prosthetics on a baby. Whatever it was, caught me off guard.
They exist, though. My mom does surgery with a doctor in Albuquerque. They work on cleft palates all the time and severe cleft palates.
So you knew about that.
Yeah.
How rare is it? Do you know?
No, it's not that rare at all.
No, it's actually more common than
not cleft palates, but severe cleft palates.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yep, it's a rare thing, and especially in other countries too, like third world countries.
Right, yeah.
Stuff. Not so much prevalent here in the United States. I don't know why, but maybe because for whatever reason.
Prenatal vitamins or something.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. But in third world countries, they have a lot of birth defects and cleft palates and stuff like that. So it happens. But the thing about Grays is, first of all, they have some really good, props for the show, because that was not a real baby. I don't think it was. Do you think it was a real baby?
I
think it was a CGI baby.
I don't know. It was a better CGI than Benjamin Button.
It looked a little CGI. I mean, I don't know.
It was better than Bella's baby, Renesmee.
Oh, my God.
Like, that baby looked real to me.
We can't even talk about that baby. That baby was completely CGI. What was that baby real?
Renesmee's baby.
That was baby Renesmee, Jason.
Let's not even get into that crazy kid.
But I will say that I liked the drunk 21-year-old. I thought that was, like, a realistic portrayal. Because a lot of people get super injured when they're out partying with their friends.
Sure.
I mean, and their friends are the ones that have to take them to the hospital.
I've had friends who've broken legs, noses, arms. I was on set yesterday for 15 hours with people who gave me horror stories about being drunk or on some kind of extracurricular,
We have another caller on
drug.
Yay! Oh, great.
Hi, you're on with AfterBuzz TV. Hello.
I'm so glad to be on because it's Star Session.
Star Session, everybody! Yay! Hey, Star, what's up,
Bo?
So, Star, are you tonight's episode?
Stories, yeah, crazy, and you know I love blood.
Yeah,
and all the gross stuff, and it gave me everything I wanted.
So tonight, your Grey's Anatomy appetite was fulfilled and conquered.
It was, and I'm so sad that I wasn't there to enjoy with all of you guys. I miss you guys.
Oh, you too, Star.
Oh, I miss you too. I really feel like tonight's Grey's Anatomy took advantage of every second of the 44 minutes that they were on.
Right.
Like, something was happening at every second. All the different patients, all the different plotline continue from last week, and the new ones this week, all the relationships, man, they got it done. You can tell it's coming down to the wire for season 9.
I love that, going back to the drunk girls, I love how the one girl threw up, and then she's still trying to hit on Avery.
I know.
But I would totally play that role, because I'd be like, we're not drunk.
My breasts are sick.
I know. She's like, so
terrible.
Dumb. Oh, we have the return of Jennifer Basey as the great crying grandmother.
Oh yes, she was such a lovely call-in guest for us last
and
week.
Such an ugly crier.
Seriously, she's still crying in every scene. This poor grandma.
I can't.
Breaking my
sorry,
heart.
I cannot deal with it. It must make me a cold-hearted person, because every time I saw her cry, I was like, "That is enough."
You're like, "Suck it up. Suck it up.
You have a child. This child has lost his parents." On the verge of losing his dad, you needed
pull it together.
Last week, she totally said what her motivation to cry was, like, thinking of her dog dying.
So she was thinking of having to put down her cat. That's
put
how she got
cat. There.
There
it is. There it is.
Well, if I would probably do the same with my dog. Like, she's
me too. But I could never ever fake cry that brutally as much as Jennifer.
She's a great fake crier. That's some hardcore stuff.
She's Emmy nominated. I mean, you don't get Emmy nominated unless you know how to cry. Good girl.
I mean, she's a very good actress, but that is a bad grandma. I was really disappointed by that grandma.
You're like, emotionally unstable grandma.
I know. She wanted her grandkid to go with child services. How horrible.
So we see the kid. Progress. And again, this kid that we see much longer than we ever thought, we're still seeing him. So grandma's back. They can't wake up dad. Grandma takes home little boy, and little boy, why did he take sleeping pills?
He overdoses on Ambien. Because they're really pretty colors. I mean, they look like Skittles, okay? I would have taken them, too, if I was 10.
Says Jason, who obviously has Skittles every night.
Me and Ambien are, intimately intertwined for life.
Well, they're so beautiful. On the plus side, he was okay. They were able to, stabilize him and, all of that. And it gave Christina an idea to try to wake up the dad and use this whole reverse thing, give him sleeping pills, and maybe it'll reverse whatever's going on in his head. Unfortunately, an hour later, he's still not awake. So.
Oh, my goodness.
So then the grandma goes into the whole, he needs a mom. I can't drive. I have cataracts. Apparently, no. she's still like alive and kicking but can't drive. The grandpa is still alive and kicking in some center, and she thinks he needs a brand new family.
No, let me tell you what that was code for.
Oh, when adopt
doctor.
Him.
No, I don't want to adopt him. I need to go to the casino daily. I have a life. This is not my child. I've raised my child. This is my, you know, I'm the grandma that buys the gifts and bounces afterwards. Deuces.
Doctor, I paid my dues. What else you got?
Yeah. I am out. I am live tweeting. I'm going to finish watching the show. You guys are spoiling some stuff for me.
Oh,
sorry, Star.
Okay.
Good night. Thanks for calling. All right, sweetie.
And follow me on Twitter at Star Session.
Star. We
gotta
love
get that
you.
Plug.
We miss
we'll
you.
Also follow you on Twitter at the Triple Dub Show as well, Star. Thank you, sweets. Bye.
Bye, Star. I do want to say happy birthday to my grandma. She doesn't watch Grey's Anatomy, but she does watch all of our podcasts.
Nice.
And while we're on the subject of grandmas. And not that she's like that. I don't think she's ever had
or cataracts.
She's a great grandma, and I think she would have taken me. But anyway, all of this did was just prolong the plot line that it looks like
this kid's
Owen's
not
going
anywhere.
To become the guardian of the kid.
You called it.
Yeah.
And he's like blinking 5 miles an hour, like every week, like, you know, I want to adopt this kid. Like, what do we?
like playing soccer.
Like, it's just his face. He gets a unibrow, and then you could tell he's really passionate. Owen's not good about. He needs to take a class on being emotional because his emotions are just so like.
Yeah,
they fall flat every single time. It's like, Owen, do you want to adopt this kid? Like, quit beating around the bush. He tries to emote and be so like, you know, fatherly. He's just way too masculine. It's not working. Your acting classes are horrible.
But we did see a moment in the end there. Where Christina was talking to him, and he's like, no, I want you.
I didn't get it. I was like...
I think that he does, and in theory, taking care of... It's always fun to, in theory, be a parent. I mean, when he really stops and thinks about his life and what he really wants for... Yeah, it would be nice to have a family and all of that. But when you really get down to it, it's a whole different,
right.
different world Man, when it really happens versus playing house for about a week.
I sure. have seven you know? Seats in my RAV4 because I'm like, we should foster a sibling group. Still haven't done any paperwork
good luck
on that.
With that one.
But,
you know, it's nice in theory, and I have always wanted to adopt a bunch of kids. I hate seeing, you know, that kind of a situation. I'd probably be the same way. Be right there with that kid every second, and I hate to see situations like that because it's not his fault he's in that situation. So I definitely can kind of empathize with that. But at the same time, when you get down to reality, I can't even imagine having a kid right now. I can barely, you know, I barely have time to take care of my dog.
Well, Shonda wrote an essay about her personal experience with adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. You guys should go online and check it out. But I really feel the themes of this story and this adoption mm-hmm. are coming straight from her. Like, as a showrunner, I think that's the inspiration for it.
Well,
and Zola, obviously. Right.
I mean, Zola, yeah. We saw Zola finally.
Yes, we did.
She's back from her vacation
in
Hawaii. She was just getting a tan. She was vacationing. She was a virgin Mai Tais. And now she's back.
It was her little princess tea party.
Yeah, there was a patient that was having blood brain problems, and the little brother was a monster. And it got Derek worrying all of a sudden that maybe his son was going to be a monster to Zola. But she's so happy now. She has no idea.
I know. That was a really cute moment. That was
they're
very
so cute as parents
I like
of
to
her.
See, I know. I really like to see them happy and cute like it's that. So, it was great.
It's so mind-blowing seeing them from where they started in Meridare to now.
I know.
They've come a long way, honey. They've come
I
a long
I know.
Well, you know, let's talk about Bailey. I mean, Bailey... Poor thing. And I feel like something is brewing even more deep than what we saw tonight with Bailey because mm-hmm. she's giving everyone the silent treatment. She's still mad at the team for mm-hmm. not really having her back.
I don't know if she's necessarily mad at anybody. I don't think it's anger.
Is
I don't
shock?
Think she's mad
she's
at anybody.
She's just girlfriend lost it.
I think she really is having a hard time with herself because the reality is she did kill those patients. Not on purpose. She mm-hmm. didn't even know that she did, but it was her infection, her hands. That's what she's fighting with. That's what she's dealing with. I really think that being mad at everybody else is irrelevant.
I completely agree. Like, you don't just sit in a room and culture yourself over and over and over again with the same negative result.
I mean, you imagine? Yeah. This has been her passion. She taught all of those people, pretty much, like, she guided them through their entire career. And now, you know, she's got to deal with knowing that her hands are a deadly weapon. Like, that's terrible.
Well, didn't you love how they played the whole episode as she was given the silent treatment, but she was really culturing herself? And then you see, it was almost like this weird OCD kind of crazy Rebecca Ava
Jets
moment.
Jets of the Way of the Future.
Yeah. I mean, but how do you go from your hands being something that saves people's lives to your hands being something that kills people? Like, how do you process that?
It is crazy. Two of the three people on this panel have had Steph infection before. I won't say who, but it's hard to deal with. Wow. They say
it wasn't me.
I don't know who.
Look,
it was.
After Buzzers, I had a really gnarly staph infection on my finger in October of last year, and it was not pretty. But it wasn't MRSA 600. It was not. It wasn't that.
Maybe somebody else got staph infection from a hot tub in their hair follicles in high school, but I don't know for sure.
Gross.
What kind of hot tubs were you getting in?
Either way, I could say that poor Bailey.
Yeah.
She feels like a failure. She feels like a murderer. And then worst of all, she feels dirty to herself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she takes so much pride in being a surgeon and all of that. And just to have it kind of go in a negative direction has got to be very traumatizing.
What I didn't understand, though, is in previous seasons, things of this nature have happened where they've killed people. And I want to say killed people, where people have died under their care.
But this is completely different. This was not an error. She didn't do anything wrong. The surgery, as far as like her physical, what she did do performing the surgery, she didn't do anything wrong. It was literally her skin.
Yeah.
At the same time, Bailey has always taken it really hard when her patient dies.
Yeah, she has.
Some of them can brush it off. Bailey, like when Mandy Moore got the little
fistulas.
Mandy Moore got the fistula. She obsessed over the fistulas. Like, she takes the patient's life serious more than the other doctors. I mean, some of them, to them, it's a job.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
So, I think that's what makes it even that much harder, is because she was already sensitive to it anyway. And then knowing that it was her, basically her skin that did it, terrible.
You know what? The rest of the doctors were flipping out because Bailey was mad at them.
Well, because the silent treatment's the worst.
Yeah, silence is deadly, seriously. Yeah. And they don't know what's going on, and they're all taking it very personal because they feel guilty about what they, you know, felt that they had to do or they were forced to do or whatever. When in reality, they probably made the right decision to find out sooner or later, you know, sooner rather than later, whose fault, who was really, like, where this all stemmed from. Because, I mean, can you imagine if they hadn't and how many more patients could have died?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's good that they found out after
Pegasus.
Three.
It was Pegasus. Fault.
Yeah.
See, the mythical creatures, Satan.
Down with the man.
Well, and also with one of the patients, the magician, the magical couple.
I think that's where they got the name. I think they tried a little obviously and a little bit too hard to run the theme of magic through it.
Yeah.
But that was really the only place I could see that magic coming into play. But that whole plot, I wasn't connecting with the patients at all, really.
It was very transient. It was just like, you know, okay. You know, it was just another storyline. She was a lesbian lover. You know, the lady, the girl that was
on
the
table. I didn't really get a resolution from that either.
No.
I was hoping that he knew and he did it accidentally on purpose.
That's what I would have wanted.
Yes, going.
Morbid,
yeah.
Dark place in your mind.
And they were keeping to watch the YouTube video. I thought they were just going to see. They thought they were going to figure out that he had done it on purpose.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's why it was disappointing to me, because it didn't go anywhere that exciting.
But
I didn't feel it went anywhere at all. I thought it was kind of just, like, left there. I didn't really get a resolution from it.
He quit magic. He put the magic, probably
because he sucks at it and killed someone on accident. But, like, why would he quit it for this woman that doesn't love him anymore?
He loved her. So just because she does not love him.
He sawed her in half. Did he really love her that much?
It was an accident. Things happen.
That was a good patient story, though. Because I'm sure everybody has thought, oh my gosh, what if they make an accident? They're going to saw that person in half.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, we saw some new additions to the show tonight, some beautiful new faces, in the form of one Miss Hillary Burton.
Who looks amazing.
She does. Professional her is really gorgeous. Her? Professional her? I mean, that haircut, I really want it now. I want to chop mine off and do a straight. She just looks so put together.
She does. She looks great.
I don't like how
she will forever be Peyton. Sorry.
One Tree Hill. I see her and Sophia Bush back to back.
Yeah, it's Peyton, not Lauren. It's Peyton.
Right. But I don't particularly care for how they're throwing her in as a wrench into Arizona and Cali after they finally got it together. You know, after the leg.
I still feel like they fully got it together.
And I don't necessarily know if I feel like it's a wrench. I think it. From the way that I took it, it's a little bit more to kind of help Arizona self-esteem a little. Because somebody found her attractive, knowing everything, knowing she has one leg. And I think that is kind of the biggest insecurity that she has right now. And I think, like, when she said, you know, I have one leg, and she's like, I know. Basically, I looked you up on the internet, that she kind of had this, like, little smile. And it's like, she's still got it.
I still got it. And Peyton loves it.
That's one thing that she really like focuses on a lot, you know, internally. And it's kind of, you know, nice that someone outside of the circle, outside of her friends, like some stranger, found her attractive, knowing, you know, all this about her.
It's always flattering when you get hit on in a nice way. Yeah. Even when you're happily in a relationship.
Or missing a leg. Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm glad she came in. It was nice to see her there. I mean, I'm always a big fan of Hillary
Burton.
I
don't think that's going to be the last we see of her.
No, she's definitely coming back. I mean, she hasn't even finished the surgeries yet.
So we've
what was crazy about it is that Callie had a crush on her.
I know.
She's like, I think I'm in love with her.
And didn't know. She was totally betraying her. Callie.
Well, is she? Who knows? I don't know.
She was blatantly hitting on somebody that she knew was married.
Yeah, well.
She was so cute about it.
I know.
It was playful.
It was you know, fun flirting. I don't know.
But are we in accordance that Hillary Burton's a lesbian, right?
Yes.
I mean she could be just dabbling.
I did think I don't want to sound offensive to anybody ever, but I did think there was a lot of lesbians on this episode.
Yeah, it was definitely. Well, I just thought, I was like, what if Shonda writes in the threesome? I mean, oh my God. She's really, I mean, this is not Scandal, Shonda. You can't do stuff like that on Grey's. There's no room for threesomes.
I don't know.
On Grey's.
You remember that one time the Grey's premiered after the Super Bowl?
George's
dream. They had the three of them in the shower together.
That's right.
Been done. So I wouldn't put it past
it. It was a dream.
Still.
It was a dream.
No. I don't know. I think Callie might be into it.
I think she might, too. I'm kind of in love with her.
That'd be kind of hot.
Yeah.
I'm such a douchebag. So, Alex and Hairball. I mean, Joe.
Yeah. Somebody on Twitter was counting. I think they called her Hairball 6 times.
Yeah.
Hairball. But, what a name.
Yeah, that was funny. I love to see Yang and Meredith on the same side as Karev while still teasing him.
Yeah.
It just seems like a really organic way that their friendship would progress.
Because it's kind of like a little brother, and they just tease the crap out of him. And he's like, well, my little broken heart wants you to shut up. I think it's so cute. Because he's really at a point where he's opening up. And even in last episode when Yang is like, you know, come lay down, and he lays down.
She's like, it's weird. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Give it a second.
And they, you know, he finally, like, opens up, and that's, you know, their way of... It's really nice to see their friendship grow. I like that.
But I'm not a fan of Joe, for other reasons, but because she's just so dumb. Krev's hot, one. He's gotten hotter, thank God.
She's young.
Krev has always been hot.
No.
What?
Where did that come from? He's getting hotter.
No, he's always been hot.
There was a season where he had a gut.
I think he's gotten hotter.
I don't think that stopped me from thinking he's hot.
No, it did.
I don't know. I think he has gotten a little... I don't know. Maybe it's
you know
his
what you reminded me of? This is so off topic, but Barbara Walters, when she was covering the royal wedding, was like this. It looks like Prince William is getting a little bit of a bald spot. And we're like, Barbara, get with the program. We've been teasing him about that for 5 years.
I know. He's like, bald girl.
But anyway, Karev, hot, still hot. Jesse Williams, obviously everybody that calls in keeps agreeing. Mm-hmm. There was a picture posted of him online today. I stopped scrolling. He's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think she's young. She's naive. She is very insecure about her past. That's why she doesn't want to tell anybody about it.
Stop it
right now. That is not funny, Jason.
It's not, I'm not laughing.
Stop
it's
it.
It's kind of funny.
It's not funny.
It's the way she says it. She's like, beautiful and scrubs. How dare you tell someone I was a dumpster diver? Like, it's like this elite club of people.
Stop it.
Stop it right now. Okay, go Kelly.
But Karev keeps seeing her everywhere, and it's torture for him because he realizes that he loves her.
Loves her.
And she's moving in with somebody else she considers perfect. And so it's just like conflict between them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they cannot have a peace, even if it's just the energy in the room. They can't be in the same room.
Right.
Yeah, well, I don't know. In a perfect world, what would happen would be Karev would go grab Joe, they'd make out, and they would be in love again. She would leave the other sexy Dr. Meyer, because he's hot, too. Let's keep it real.
He's hot until he started throwing punches.
Right.
We got to go there. Yeah. I mean, that was the shocker of the evening.
For sure. Well, I know. I thought she was going to say, Karev, I'm pregnant, but no, because I mean that would have been would have been his baby. I'm like, okay, cool, you know, but no, she turns around and typical gray shadowing. Can I stay with you?
Yeah, no, it was pretty perfect.
It was like on the money. It was like Emmy, but he beats her. But well, you know, Shonda, you should know better. You're not the black dude beating the white girl.
But Shonda, I said you are past that. You do not play by games of stereotypes, so it doesn't matter to you. Even reverse stereotyping, like everybody is not run through the filter of what certain races should do on this show.
Look, she changed
the
it up.
White family losing He's all black their fingers. And Asian. Yeah. You know, it's like the hillbilly family losing all their fingers.
Well,
I mean, come on.
I guess that's true.
Stereotypes are very prevalent on Grey's.
You didn't see like an Indian family having a great family reunion play in Tug of War.
No, I guess
that's true.
Did you say Indian family?
I was just thinking of ethnicities I'd never seen Tug of War.
Stereotypes have come into play, and this is absolutely one of them.
But, okay, what I want to know, and you guys tell me what you think too, is this leading us to believe that they have had this type of domestic abuse relationship before, or was this the first time that it had happened?
I think we're gonna get the backstory on it too.
But what do you guys think?
I think it's happened before.
I don't know. I think it might have been the first time.
I think it's happened before, just not maybe a physical punch to the face.
But, no, I think. Well, as you can, when Karev even sees them fighting, they've obviously had some hardcore fights. But I don't think it's gotten physical until that point. But I think it got really like in your face. But I think that it really got physical now.
Well, how long have they been dating for? I'm like, I've only been dating you for 3 days, and you already kicked my ass.
But she has a pretty feisty temper, right. And he didn't seem like he does. But when we saw that scene of them fighting, you know, I think he's undercover.
But what's crazy is she said everything was perfect with him until he told him that. So I don't think that she would have considered it perfect if he was like abusing her in any way. And so I think it just happened.
I think the
once he found
I think,
that out.
Yeah, I think that's when the fighting really got started, and then it really got physical at that point. But and that's the thing. If you can't be open and honest with someone that you're about to move in with, there's obviously an issue that you just don't want to see. And she's young. She's embarrassed about her past. She wants to be the perfect one, so she doesn't want to have any type of flaw. And that's what... And the fact is he's a douche for even, you know, being upset by that. What does that have to do with anything?
Right.
No, honestly, like, we were saying that he could be upset about it because she sort of lied to him. And not that he should be mad that she lied, but he should be mad that she omitted her past and didn't trust him to be able to love her
but
through
really,
that.
But really, does that really justify him being mad at her?
No.
Like, I don't sit around and with everybody that I date right away sit and talk about where I
no,
came
it doesn't,
from and
what
it
I doesn't
grew
justify
up, you know?
Him being mad, and it doesn't justify him beating her, obviously.
I mean, I understand that he was probably upset from hearing it from Karev.
Yeah.
And that could have been the issue, and she just took it... She could have taken it way personal, way out of hand, and then started this whole thing because of her personality and her shortness of temper. I understand that because he's the boyfriend. She should, you know. So the best friend, they already have conflict and like all of that. But for him to get like that upset where he's like, it's physical now, ridiculous.
Well, like, we're going to get the backstory though. I'm sure something has happened to bring it to fisticuffs.
Because... I think it's happened before, and just her low view of herself and what she's worth.
Well, and it's obviously something that he's done.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this can't be the first time he's hit a girl.
Right, yeah. And I mean, we have seen several times on this show before, Karev has not backed down from a fight.
And he does not care if he loses his job.
Right.
He is
well, I mean, he's from Iowa.
He's going to throw down. Wasn't he a wrestler?
Yeah, he was raised out in the back.
Throw down.
He was a dumpster diver. They know how to fight. I'm sorry. No, I mean, I don't know any... No one's a dumpster diver. I don't know any, so it's just funny when they use that term on Grey's because who thinks of this stuff? You know, dumpster diver, really?
I think that's a thing, but I never knew of it as a derogatory term. I thought it was more of a, like, hobby, you know? Let's scourge the dumpsters and find these things that we could flip sell. I'm serious. I thought that.
Yeah. I know. Your whole enthusiasm.
Like, people love doing it. Like,
I found a pair of Nikes in a dumpster.
No, seriously. I know people.
Jill, let's go dumpster diving tomorrow.
Okay, I don't want to go dumpster diving.
What are you talking about now? We have issues. Look, go to iTunes, tell a friend, rate us, give us 5 stars. We love hearing from you. If you are a dumpster diver, let us know on iTunes. And also, you can stream all your AfterBuzz after shows on iPads and iPhones and Androids as well. So,
finally.
You know, I know. We love hearing from you guys. We'll give you guys shout-outs. If there's something about Grey's Anatomy we don't know, which I know there probably is not, but if there is, let us know, and we'll you know, put you on blast for it, because we love you. That's how we do, and that's what we do here at AfterBuzz TV. Excuse me. So, yeah, let's talk about Owen and Christina and the kid one more time for a quick minute, though. Okay. I think that the kid's gonna play a major part in the storm that's coming for the finale. Mm-hmm. I don't think the kid's done. Because every season they have these people, the pieces of the puzzle start coming together, like with the shooter, you know, he was there for 5 episodes, and all of a sudden they string him along to be like, bam, this is why they're still here. Because, or a crazy grandma might haul off and, like, I don't know, steal the kid or something. I'm seeing something's going to happen that's going to be really, like, full out. Because this kid's getting way too many episodes.
I know. Whenever he first came around, we did not know he was coming back for another.
Well, I love that he looks like he could be Owen's kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that, you know, that I thought was very, like, awesome.
Kevin McKidd directed tonight, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like, maybe he's like tapping in to his fatherhood. I don't know if he's a dad in real life or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is. So it's probably an easy role for him to play as far as attaching himself to that little guy.
Yeah.
Well, all in all, tonight's episode was pretty good. Again, I do think what's missing from Grey's, though, over the course of the last week, I've watched seasons 1 through 6 again just to get familiar with, you know, storylines from the past and to compare and contrast. Music isn't as good this season.
I thought the final song tonight was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, to me, every once in a while, there's a song from Grey's, I would say probably 20 over the course of the entire show, that I hear and I go home and I download immediately.
Right.
Like, I felt like that was it tonight. It did remind me of one from earlier this season with the drums, but this, like, I thought that the emotional level was heightened perfectly by that music.
It's just
the one song.
I don't think they're putting as much energy into that the way they used to, because when Grey's, for a couple seasons, their tagline was Feel Thursdays. It was like they're all about emotion and really trying to, like, get... That's what drew me in. And I think that's missing.
No, I'm with you. I think the music used to be way better.
Yeah.
It used to have more of a focus. Right. Now it really doesn't.
It's very clinical now.
Like, they used to need a niche. Whenever the show first came out, like, a huge thing was the fact that they played that much indie music all the time over the dialogue. And I guess, like, 9 seasons in, and typically one of the highest rated show on television, they don't need gimmicks anymore. And so they're probably not focusing on it as much because they don't need it for stability.
That's a more PC way to look at it. But for authenticity of the show and why fans like it, and for, it's like, I don't know.
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying that's
Pizza Hut
theory.
And why their crust. You know, they have the best
pan
crust.
That is what you came up with far as something you're passionate about?
I'm passionate about Pizza Hut pizza. Thank you very much. I had a whole one by myself tonight before I came here. and I still have abs. Thank you. Just kidding. But I'm saying, though, but you said a gimmick. And it's just that I think that was one of the things that made Grey's unique. Because a gimmick, it's not a gimmick. It's just...
It's a theme.
Right.
It was a theme for each season.
It's intrinsic with their with their lineage and their genetic makeup of the show.
I agree. I like it. I'm just saying, I think that's probably why it's gone. Because it's established yourself as a major player network show.
I think it's probably because every other show started doing it.
Yeah. I think they all jumped on the bandwagon. It wasn't what made them unique anymore.
No, most of the show started to do that.
I respect that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, you know, Bailey locks herself in this room. Nobody can, and why did nobody just go get the dang key and unlock the door? Like, that was bugging me the entire show.
Because they're doctors.
Right?
They're not that smart.
But I like that Richard finally went and called her husband, and he came.
Yes.
And kind of came to see what's going on and, you know,
I think that was my favorite moment of the whole episode. Because we haven't seen Ben.
Mm-mm.
And I don't even since the wedding, maybe.
Right. He's here at UCLA.
And I almost forgot she was married. And she's going through this horrible thing by herself.
She's always going through
horrible things by herself.
Because she won't communicate with anyone. She goes into, she kind of goes internal with it. And, well, the one person that she would was Richard. And she just feels, like, super betrayed.
And his monologue was priceless tonight.
He didn't have time. He had a sawed in half woman on the table. He didn't have time for a long
Richard
monologue,
really
right?
was like not wanting to do a monologue. He was wanting to focus on the patient, as they should.
I know.
We were all saying, like, why do these doctors keep talking to each other?
They do that
while
though.
They're juggling organs.
They
in
play
their
music
hands.
And
focus.
Dance. They play full. They
I know.
Full on loud heavy metal in operating rooms.
They're like this. Focus, focus. Oh, but then, like, they're at a dinner party.
I know.
With these scalpels. Oh, well, I don't even know.
It's crazy.
It's because they're not, they're angels. They're not, they're
but
not
I'm glad
Earth.
That he came in and, you know, showed support for her and, you know, kind of helped remind her that it's not her fault. And hopefully he'll be there for a minute to kind of help her kind of get out of this.
Even furthermore, though, Kel, like, what she said that was so on the money was not, it was about her testing herself. It was like, she felt dirty.
Yeah.
She felt dirty. It wasn't even about medicine. It wasn't about anything scientific. It was about her just feeling dirty. You know how when you come home from a long day and you take a shower and you wash off the day and you can get rid of any negativity or just, you know, it's just a new beginning. She can't get rid of it. It's like this monster inside of her that's eating at her that you can feel. And I totally identified with her on that because, like, you know, I was depressed for a while over something years ago. And I was and I felt that way. Like, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't have staff. But when you can't get rid of an emotion, you can't, only time can heal all things, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's so new for her. And then Ben being there, when he came, I wasn't happy. It wasn't like he was her Captain Save-A-Ho. I was like, you know, okay.
I was happy.
I was not happy. I was.
I'm
sorry.
Bailey is not that.
And where did that expression come from?
So, anyway, no, I was happy. I like that she was shocked. And she was happy. And she immediately, she looked around for a second and immediately opened the door.
Do you think she wanted that saving?
She needed.
Do you think she needed that saving?
I don't think she was even thinking about it. She was so introspective and focused on this. Yeah, she needed a husband. Why are they living apart? I know you guys. I know you guys explain it to me every time. I still just don't think they should. Figure it out. Live together.
Get it together.
Get in the same place, because if one of you is going crazy for weeks at a time, the other one's got to be there.
Well, he came and he was there.
He did.
As soon as he knew, he was there.
They're an awkward couple anyways. She's too short for him.
Stop it right now.
We did see a moment between Kepner and Avery.
Yes,
it was
we
a
did.
Little spark where they forgot about did. The rest of the world, had a moment together, did a surgery. They seemed to bond over that and almost went out to get drinks. And it's like, oh, yada, yada, rest of the world. Other boyfriends,
well,
other girlfriends.
Well, I like that he's the one that said no. She would have gone.
Yeah, that was crazy.
He's the one that said no. And he thought about it for a second, but he's the one that said no. The only thing that disappointed me is that it would have been so much cooler to me if she would have just said, okay, maybe next time, instead of, oh, yeah, I forgot, I got to go see Matthew.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah, so,
that's like
so dumb. It's like, really,
like,
April?
Girly, like, dumb thing to do.
I didn't hate it. Maybe those 21-year-old drunk girls rubbed off on her a little bit.
I don't know. I hate that.
It was funny when she tried to motivate them.
That was funny.
Don't you want to be awesome?
Who was the blonde girl? I recognize her. If anybody else recognized her, tell me where else she's, like, I've seen her before.
I didn't recognize them before, but I know for sure they're not 21. Just saying. Sorry.
I know people like them. I didn't recognize her, though.
I recognize her from something.
I recognize her personality.
Yeah, I love that personality is rampant. Vapid personality. I mean, I know so many. God, what is this, a sickness?
It is running rampant in this town.
Word.
So obviously those two are nowhere near being finished, which we've talked about.
Oh,
we have
known
two episodes
that.
Left. Yeah. I mean,
well, and how many more seasons? Like, at least one more season.
I mean, just when we think Christine and Owen are going to die and even a divorce, they've never been better.
I told you, I like them better now.
I like them better now, too, just because they, you know, finally shut up and quit making each other miserable. I just don't know why they had to get a divorce to make that happen.
Some people like it better without labels.
You know, why put a label on it?
You ain't got to put a label on everything.
There you go.
Either way.
I mean, overall, tonight was a great episode. It gave us more of what we like from Grey's Anatomy. Let's move on to predictions.
Ooh. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'm going to say I have none because mine have not come. The ones I've made have been sucky-wucky, but you two have had some really good ones.
Can I just say that I am so upset to see that dang preview of Meredith falling in the stairwell?
Yeah.
Oh,
why?
So but don't worry about it.
Predictable.
They screw us over with the previews. The baby's going to be fine.
But whatever.
Well, I do know some things that are for sure going to happen in the season finale because they've released information about it. Mara goes into labor.
Spoiler alert, everybody. If you don't want to know.
That's why you watch a show for the insider tips. And it's not like you couldn't find this information online like I did.
Some people don't. I purposely sometimes don't look for it.
Oh, well, plug your ears, Kel.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
See, I've had people tweet that are like, you got to let us know.
Okay, spoiler alert. Ready? Meredith goes into labor when the power's out.
Of course she does. Because she fell down the dang stairs.
In the bathroom.
Of course. But I think that's why she was wanting to have a natural birth. Like,
so she could poop on the table.
She's okay with it. So we're going to be okay with it.
Because she knows it's going to be traumatic and there was no way it was going to be normal for
her to have this kid. Yeah.
And no Chipotle for you before you go into labor, Meredith.
And also, Bailey will be saving the life of one of the surgeons in the hospital in the season finale. So that's probably going to be Bailey's grand reappearance onto the scene of surgery.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Wash your hands.
I know.
Double glove it.
Wrap it up.
But as far as predictions concerned, I'm going to stick with last week. This is Owen's new son in some way. And also, like, where did those Syrian doctors go? Because I was so convinced.
With all that free stuff, that free swag from Seattle Grace.
I was so
Grace.
Convinced we were going to see
find out
more.
All that stuff is missing.
I'm seeing a plot point too big to drop out of the face of the earth. So I think that might be coming
back.
They're
creating the storm.
I just don't get it how they could have a superstorm and a bomb, like Syrians at the same time as a hurricane. Like, I just don't know how they're going to do it all. But that, to me, is a big hole out there that's just waiting.
First of all, you can't have hurricanes in Seattle.
What is it, then?
Hurricanes
that's
are tropical
super
storms.
It's just a storm.
Yeah, it's like a Sandy.
I thought Sandy was a big hurricane.
No, it was different. It was like La Nina. I'm dumb. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist.
Doppler Jason over here.
Doppler radar
set. It's a bad, bad storm because we see a tree breaking through the window of a house. You know, I think it's Karev's house. So it's going to be a massive storm.
Also, Karev going to kick some A next week for
sure. And I hope
sure.
he really does.
Yes, I hope so too. I don't know if this is going to immediately jump them into their relationship, but possibly.
Yeah.
Kel?
I don't know. I think that's about... I mean, that's it. I agree with the same thing. I want to see Karev, like, whoop that guy. I want to see... I want to see Meredith have the baby and the baby be, like, okay and have, like, 10 figures said, like, 10 to, like, no deformities, like, nothing wrong. Like, I want her to have a normal
baby,
kid.
Yeah.
No severe
baby.
Cleft.
Doesn't have to be a normal birth. Okay, I'll be okay with that. But I just, you know, I think, like, no more drama with
There's
that.
There's two things I want to predict. Mm-hmm. What do we think is going to happen with the love triangle with Arizona and Bailey?
I don't think anything's going to happen.
You don't think anything. What do you think, Kelly?
Oh, you mean Arizona and Lauren?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Arizona, Lauren, and Callie.
I totally think Arizona's going to mess around.
I do, too. I don't think it'll go so far.
They're going to make out.
Something at least, yes. And then the second thing is, who do we think that Bailey is going to save the life of or be in charge of saving the life
Avery.
Of? You do? Avery?
I think Avery.
Jay?
I want it to be Callie.
Callie has already been through so much, though.
Who cares?
They've all been through so much. Who hasn't almost died?
Avery.
Or April.
Avery?
Or April.
He has not almost died.
Or April.
Right? I don't think he has.
No, I think you're right. It's either going to be Avery or April or an intern.
Yeah.
Avery,
I'm
April,
thinking Avery
intern.
Just because of the whole CDC thing, and he was like, you know, the
No,
full,
I think
like,
you're.
All of that.
That's a good prediction. And
I
that
don't
could
know.
bring to the top the love that they feel for each other that they've been suppressing.
Yes, exactly.
Could be crazy. Let's move on to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, it's not really news and gossip, but it's actually something really cool that I've always admired about Shonda and the writing on Grey's Anatomy and why they do the things they do. Shonda has her own blog called The Grey Matter, and it's cool that she opens up internally and really gives the fans an insight to the way she writes and what's going on in her life and how her emotions and the events in her life run parallel with what goes on Grey's. She has three shows. Well, she had three shows, you know, Private Practice ended its run last December. Sorry, last January, and then so there's Scandal and Grey's, and Shonda has not written any of the shows this season. And normally she writes the premiere and the finale. She has not written any of them because she says that it's just been too emotional for her and that she has a great stable of writers that have been there with her from the beginning that can do the job just as good. And they're a family and that they all experience the Grey's saga together.
Yeah, you know what? Props.
I think
delegation.
That's
I mean, 9 years in, I think she could trust her team.
Absolutely.
She's still the showrunner. So, you know, she makes the final calls on everything, but that's awesome.
And to be able to, writing a show is a dance, right? Writing, creating these characters and the lives and the journeys of each of these characters to intermingle and intertwine with each other is a science. Not anyone can just do that. So you have to have a stable of people that you have chemistry with that get it. And have a formula to create such great television that is Grey's Anatomy. So, Shonda, hats off to you. Stacey McKee wrote the finale, and it's supposed to be one of the best. And Shonda says, quote, end quote, I couldn't have done it better myself.
Everybody, all of the cast members keep tweeting about being shocked and crying. So,
can't wait to see it. I'm excited. It's going to be
great. So, is it, do we have two episodes left or three?
Two.
Okay,
two.
So we have only two episodes left this season. Mm. We are starting to see the finale plots next week then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to lead up. It's going to lead into
oh,
it.
Oh, you guys don't miss it. Oh my gosh.
I know what I'm doing. I'm coming in Scrubs next week. I decided.
Jason, I tried to get us to come in Scrubs the first episode
and
ever, and you said no.
Horribly. Well, I changed my mind. I am a Libra. I can't make my mind about anything.
All right,
guys.
Until next time, you guys,
I can't
that's
wait
all.
To see you guys next week. I don't know how I'm going to wait a whole week, honestly.
You can.
From
Ambien. I have plenty. Hey, you guys, until next time, I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me online at the Jason J. Carter Fam fan page.
I don't think you can find him
on
online.
Twitter at JDC Forever, and also follow me on Twitter at The Triple Dub Show. See you later.
I'm Julie Parton, and you can find me on Twitter at JULIEPARTIN.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE 079.
Bye.
Bye. See you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.